From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 30th day of October 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, the Commerce Department says the economy has shrunk 0.3%. That's the sharpest contraction in 7 years, and spending on non-durable items like food has dropped at the sharpest rate since the late 1950s. Hey, don't worry, because it could be worse. Two new studies show folks in Europe are paying a lot more for their food. And the cause, they say, is Europe's resistance to letting farmers plant genetically altered crops. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. We'll stay with the food theme for a while today. I'll tell you something about my visit with the head buyers from Walmart yesterday afternoon. You may be surprised. And then we'll discover horseradish. Why? Well, because Illinois pounds the rest of the planet in production of that tangy root. Hey, and at the end of the half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast, and it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, that's public radio, from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on a Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat today at $5.38, 23.25 lower for the afternoon. The March contract at 5.58¾, down 22.5 cents. And the May futures at 5.72¼, down 22¾. December corn futures 409.5, 11¼ lower. The March at 427.5. Finished down 10¾ in the May at 439.5, down 10.5 cents. July at $4.50, down 10¾. November soybeans, $9.34, down 3¼. January, $9.43, down 4. March at $9.55, 4¼ lower. And the May futures in the bean pit at $9.65¾, down 3¾ on the afternoon. December bean meal at $2.83.30, up 30 cents. December bean oil, 15 higher at $34.48. October live cattle, $93.50, $1.85 higher. December up 45 at $91.45. October feeders, 27.5 higher at $96.07.5. And November feeder cattle at $97.85, up $1.35 for the day. December lean hogs at $1.57.5 higher at $56 even. From the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign campus, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil at $66.10 a barrel, down $1.40 for the day. November ethanol at $1.80. Down 3¾. Natural gas at $6.45½, down 32¾. November gasoline for the RBOB at $1.46⁄6, down 6⁄7. And the heating oil, November contract there as well, $1.97⁄8, down 2¾. That, of course, is diesel. Propane now. November contract at 97 cents even, 2½ cents higher. And the gold futures are trading at $737.20. Down $15.60 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average just about 180 points higher now at 91.62 for the day, and the U.S. dollar is currently trading at 84.61. That's up 0.07 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. From our own Keyser, Ed Keyser, he says tonight, should be clear. Lows will be from 38 in eastern Indiana to 48 in west central Illinois. You have to like those short and clear forecasts. Tomorrow, kind of the same. Sunny. Highs ranging from 64 in northern Indiana to 72 in southwestern parts of Illinois. The extended forecast says, Ed, other than a weak disturbance that might trigger a few sprinkles in the northern half of Illinois and Indiana Saturday night and Sunday morning, no precip expected through the day. On Tuesday of next week, models indicate that a few showers and thunderstorms may enter northwestern Illinois late Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, but most areas will stay dry through Wednesday of next week. The medium range models show an increased chance of precip starting on Wednesday night or Thursday and continuing into Saturday of next week. Most of the precip, though, will be in the form of rain, but wet snowflakes could mix in for colder air on Friday and Saturday. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
This is the Tuesday, or rather Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Time to take a look at the futures markets. And Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group is on the line this afternoon with us. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, you're out in the field today. Where are you?
I'm in Attica, Indiana today.
Oh, and how are things in Attica?
Busy. Just steady line of trucks. So farmers are going after it as quickly as they can, I guess. They're looking at that rain forecast coming at us early next week.
Are they so busy that they're not stopping to talk with you? I can't imagine.
No, they do. we're giving out free lunches today. So we get a lot of traffic coming in. They're coming in and picking up their sack lunches, whether it's 2, 3, 5, 10, whatever, and then taking them on out to their helpers out in the field.
So, is that part of the Farm Credit Service or ADM or a combination?
This is strictly ADM. In Indiana, we don't have Farm Credit helping us out like they do in Illinois. But this is strictly an ADM program here.
Well, that's awfully nice of you and ADM to do it, and I'll bet they're just glad to have you there. What are they asking you about the markets today?
Oh, pretty much same questions always. How low is low, and do you think this market is going to come back someday by either by winter or next spring? Those type of questions. And basically my answer is a lot of it depends. And we're still writing the book here on this financial situation that we have. And but I do think I'm beginning to see some signs that at least we're trying to stabilize. And that was, I think, the first thing that we have to do in this market. Has been kind of a rough 30 days or so for anybody that's been watching these markets, or that their living is determined by what the market actually gives them on a day-to-day basis. And like I told Dave here this morning, at least looking on the charts anyway, it does look like we're the big steep downward momentum that we had there in September and early October has been halted, and now we're trying to turn sideways in kind of a choppy up and down type phase. So at least I think there's a chance here that we can begin to stabilize, and then once we begin to stabilize, and I think the market basically is trying to assess, you know, how much damage this stock market meltdown has really done to the U.S. economy and the world economy, and how that may or may not impact supply and demand for agriculture. And it's going to take a while, I think, for the market to sort it out. But the first thing we have to do is kind of turn sideways in here, and at least there's an indication that we're beginning to do that.
Actually, it looks, and I don't know whether you've got the charts in front of you, but the December harvest month for the corn has a higher high this week, a lower low, and now they've got they'll have a higher settlement for the week one way or the other. If they go down 30 cents, they'll still be up a little bit more than 6 cents for the week by the time they end tomorrow. Is that good news?
It wouldn't be good news if we went limit down, even though we would close higher for the week. That'd be really pulling out the lame week. But, yes, I think it is good news. It's the type of action that chartists like to see if they're hunting for a bottom. And this is going to turn out to be an outside-up week. It's coming pretty much on schedule, maybe a day or two late from a 10-week cycle low, or last low that we had there back in early August. So it is fit within the framework of a 10-week cycle. It is also fitting within the framework of average seasonal price patterns of individual contracts. It might be a week or two late, but you know, any kind of average, you got to go plus or minus a couple weeks. So it does look like we're at least settling into somewhat of an average price pattern. And if an average price pattern does unfold, we could see price strength, you know, for as we go on into November. But then, of course, which seasonal pattern you look at, prices then begin to maybe flatten out. And I think that's probably something that we need to kind of watch in here. I think farmers, that if they're looking at a spot to maybe sell something before the end of the year, they need to maybe be watching the next couple weeks or so. Some target levels, of course, what everybody's going to be looking at is these chart gaps that were left here about 3 weeks ago on the December corns up around this 450 area. If we could kind of go through that area, then I think we've, you know, at least got a shot at something up into the 470, 490 area. So there is some chances here for at least a solid retracement of this decline that we saw here during late September, early October.
You have a target for soybeans, too?
Soybeans, somewhat similar. Soybeans have probably done a better job of recovering their loss here over they had kind of about a $3.90 decline here on the January contract. The chart gap's up here around 10.05. That's probably a place to kind of shoot for, you know, to make any kind of near-term sales if something needed to be done between now and the end of the year. Otherwise, you might want to shoot for something, you know, in the 10.30, 10.50 range.
All right, and then anything on the wheat? We don't talk about it often. But.
Well, wheat, I think wheat will, it's trying to do the same thing. I'm looking here at a July 09 wheat.
Okay.
And a retracement, a 38% retracement back on that would be somewhere around 640. I would be more inclined to kind of wait for at least a 50% retracement, which would be something like 675, and a 62% retracement would be right up against $7. So I think you're going to see a big pullback in wheat acres this year, and I think wheat's probably a commodity that we need to watch to maybe take over leadership. That's something that I've kind of got in the back of my mind to kind of watch to see whether or not wheat can come to the forefront here and begin to maybe lead this market higher.
And then let's talk a little bit about the outside markets. Do you want to take up the U.S. dollar or the price?
Well, the dollar is the main key, I think. And we did see the dollar go into kind of a tailspin here for a day and a half. We were down sharply last night and early this morning. And, of course, that gave commodities the green light to go higher in the early session last night. But then as the dollar has kind of regained and come back to kind of unchanged in here, that kind of puts some pressure on it. I think the price action that we've seen in the dollar, the sell-off here for the last couple of days, is something to kind of watch to see whether or not maybe it's beginning to want to turn sideways. It's been in a pretty strong up move over the past several weeks, and if it begins to turn sideways and get into a trading range, then that might kind of become somewhat of a positive influence in the sense that I think it would indicate that it's kind of maybe rolling down and won't be as much of a negative influence as it has been to ag commodities here over the past several weeks.
And finally, it's something I talked with my father about last night, and he wasn't quite sure, but have you heard land sales recently, and are they holding up?
Well, nothing real recent, but there's going to be a slug of them for sale here starting in another 2 or 3 weeks. Very few sales start here during the harvest time frame, but it's going to be real interesting because prior to harvest, we were hearing some $8,500 type sales. Now, the question here with this price decline and the change that we've seen into the overall world economic situation, whether or not that's going to take them back to maybe where they were a year ago. I think a year ago at this time, a lot of your good ground was in that $6,500 range. So it'll be interesting whether or not this type of decline has taken $2,000 off the land or not. But we're going to there's a lot of land for sale that's going to start coming up for sale here in mid-November you know, on through December. So we're going to have a good reading what the land's worth, I think, here by the end of the year.
All right. Well, you keep feeding the farmers if you can, and good luck out there, okay?
Very well.
All right. Thanks much. That's Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what he has to say again, you can do that this evening if you want, or just about 3 o'clock this afternoon. We'll get it posted to the website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with a complete look at today's agricultural news.
WILL programs are made possible by the iCorn.com Seeds of Knowledge Video Scholarship Contest. Farmers nominate students who make a 90-second video and compete for a share of $30,000 in college scholarships from iCorn.com. More information is available online at iCorn.com.
In agricultural news, the Commerce Department today says the U.S. economy shrank at a 0.3% annual rate in the third quarter, its sharpest contraction in 7 years. The third quarter decline stands in sharp contrast to second quarter growth of 2.8%. Consumer spending fell 3.1% in the third quarter, the biggest drop since the second quarter of 1980. Spending on non-durable goods, items like food and paper products, dropped at the sharpest rate since late 1950. And disposable personal income dropped at an 8.7% rate, the steepest decline since records on this component were started in 1947. Japan and Germany today say they will spend billions of dollars to provide a cushion against a deep recession. Japan unveiled a $51 billion package of spending measures to support its economy, and Germany planned a package of spending measures worth $32 billion. Two new studies released by European universities conclude that the European Union is paying significantly higher prices for food and feed due to the EU's restrictive policies regarding biotech crops. Leaders of the EU 27 nations reportedly are considering a campaign to convince consumers to drop or lessen their resistance to GMOs in order to bring more bioengineered crops to Europe. The U.S. has complained to the World Trade Organization Subsidies Committee that China continues to skirt its responsibility to report required information on government subsidies to industries. Specifically, the U.S. is charging that the PRC is failing to report large segments of the Chinese economy and that it is failing to include subsidies provided by local and provincial governments below the national level. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of Commodity Week. You can hear both of them online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. Here's another internet address you should be interested in. It's for National Market Maker. It's national.marketmaker.uic.edu. It's a way to link buyers and sellers of produce, mostly in meats in the United States. And it's built, sponsored, and developed right here on this campus by the folks at the University of Illinois. And that brings me to the conversation I told you about earlier with the head buyers at Walmart, and these are the head buyers. Ron McCormick was in Chicago yesterday at a National Market Maker meeting. He's the Vice President of Purchasing for Walmart U.S., and all of the purchasers for produce and their staff report to him. Why, you might ask, was he in Chicago at a Market Maker meeting? Well, I'll give you more details as the weeks go by, probably next week, but let's say it this way. Walmart is wanting to cut down on the transportation miles it uses to bring produce from East and West Coast, say tomatoes, to the Midwest, because it costs a lot of money. And because they're from the South, Arkansas, remember they're in Bentonville, they're a very rural-oriented company, and I believe this is the case from talking to them. And they think there is a vested interest in making sure that there are people in rural America to buy their products. Remember, those Walmarts started where? Well, right here in rural America. They weren't in big towns to begin with. And there's a vested interest for them to preserve the number of people there that can buy their products. And I suppose Walmart has decided that they'd like to develop locally grown products, which have moved as agriculture has gotten bigger. And they see market makers as a way to tap into those producers potentially. There are a lot of them, but they're very hard to find. On the flip side, did you know this? That if you are a local producer of broccoli or watermelon or cantaloupe, that you can go to the local Walmart store and the store manager actually has the power to make a decision about whether they can buy from you or not? That's all I'll say for now about my interview yesterday afternoon with Ron McCormick, who's the Vice President for Purchasing at Walmart U.S. Now, up next, let's talk about a different kind of number one. In the United States, an estimated 24 million pounds, did you know, of horseradish roots are ground and processed annually to produce approximately 6 million gallons of prepared horseradish. It makes the U.S. the number one producer of horseradish around the planet. And as you'll hear, Illinois is far and away the top producer of that hot crop. Collinsville, Illinois, and the surrounding area is part of what is known as the American Bottoms. It's the Mississippi River Basin area adjacent to St. Louis. Carved out by the glaciers from the Ice Age, the soil is rich in potash, a nutrient on which horseradish thrives. The area, according to the Horseradish Information Council, grows 60% of the world's supply. University of Illinois plant pathologist Mohamed Babadous gives us some more facts and figures.
Total horseradish acreage in the United States is about 3,000 acres, about 6,000 acres, and more than half of that is in Illinois. And after Illinois, Wisconsin produced about 20%, Northern California produced another 20%, and about 5 to 10% in other states.
So Illinois leads the world in horseradish production. It's followed on the global stage by Hungary. Horseradish, again taken from the Horseradish Information Council's website, is believed to have originated in Central Europe, the area also linked to the most widely held theory of how horseradish was named. In German, it's called Meerrettich, because it grows by the sea, or sea radish. Many believe the English mispronounced the German word Meer and began calling it Meerrettich. Eventually, it became known as horseradish. The word horse, as applied in horseradish, is believed to denote large size and coarseness. Radish comes from the Latin radix, meaning root. Horseradish is a perennial crop, and that means it comes back year after year from the same rootstock, but producers in Illinois treat it as an annual. They put fresh roots in the ground each season. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Lobbyist businessman William Cellini has been indicted on charges that accuse him of conspiring with convicted influence peddler Tony Rezko to extort money for an unnamed public official. Public official A was identified at Rezko's trial as Governor Rod Blagojevich, and the circumstances of the two cases seem to overlap. But today, federal prosecutors declined to say if Blagojevich is also the public official A in the new case. Blagojevich himself hasn't been charged with any wrongdoing. Cellini's been a major behind-the-scenes player in Illinois politics for decades. The 73-year-old Springfield man is accused of plotting to pressure money out of a real estate investment firm called Capri Capital and one of its owners, Thomas Rosenberg. University of Illinois students want to keep the tradition of Chief Illiniwek alive with a performance at the Assembly Hall. During a press conference today, Students for Chief Illiniwek President Roberto Martel said on November 15th the chief will give his next dance, although without university support.
Because, I mean, there's two classes of University of Illinois students who've never had an opportunity to see the chief and to learn about the Illiniwek tradition and its rich history.
Martel says student Logan Ponce will perform the dance during a 45-minute multimedia event. The event is free to students. General public will be admitted for $5 apiece, with proceeds given to charity. The University of Illinois retired Chief Illiniwek as a mascot in February of last year. The NCAA had set sanctions on tournaments hosted by the U of I because it considers the chief an example of so-called hostile and abusive Native American imagery. Two people have been hospitalized after their minivan slammed into the back of a semi-trailer. That crash blocked Interstate 74 in Champaign for nearly 2 hours this morning. There's no word on the condition of the two van occupants, but state police say 41-year-old Cindy Woodard of Dewey was going too fast when she hit the semi, which was just merging onto westbound 74 off Prospect Avenue. And presidential candidate Barack Obama is using his popularity to give down-ballot Democrats a boost. He's recording radio commercials. I'm Tom Rogers.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Thursday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast. Pete Levitt is with us today. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It is another gorgeous fall day here as we close out the month of October.
Yes, there is. And we've got some pretty good news for through the weekend and into early next week. We're not looking for any significant precipitation at all across the Corn Belt states, the Midwest. As a matter of fact, not much precipitation anywhere east of the Rockies till the middle of next week. We expect to see some showers around the southeast coast areas of the country, but Midwest looks fine. The other half of the equation, the temperatures look very good. Temperatures are recovering from the cold air earlier this week and will be above normal now through the rest of this week and through much of next week. Temperatures running 10 to maybe as much as 15 degrees above normal in central Illinois. That means afternoon temperatures getting well up into the 60s and a few low 70s maybe early next week, and low temperatures staying well above freezing.
Well, that'll be very good news for the farmers here who have, in this area, that have still quite a lot of soybeans. I traveled from here to Chicago yesterday, and there were an awful lot of soybeans out there in the field, and they'll get to be able to cut those about 4 hours a day after, if they've got much dew on the ground in the morning, and then it starts to come back that early in the afternoon as we change, I think, time this weekend, too, don't we?
Yeah, I think this is the weekend. It's a week later than it used to be on this end, and well, that'll give an hour less of daylight in the evening. Just means they'll have to get up earlier in the morning. We'll all have to get up earlier in the morning. Weathermen like the shift in time because the weather runs on standard time, and it means all our weather data comes in an hour earlier for us relative to the...
Oh, that's funny. I didn't realize that. So it's,
yeah,
it's just standardized. Everything else shifts, but you guys get to have things an hour early. Anything that you've seen lately that we ought to discuss?
Well, first of all, of course, we had this very cold weather earlier in the week, and we finally had an unambiguous end to the growing season across all of the central and eastern Midwest, with temperatures getting into the upper 20s. Caught some of the crop prior to maturity. Some corn out in the western portions of the Corn Belt were not fully mature. This will mean not much on yield, except it'll be harder to dry down, and that'll probably get left out in the field a while to dry down. The warm weather should help that.
Right.
Elsewhere in the around the globe where crops are of interest, southern hemisphere is what we look at now. And we're seeing weather generally favorable in most of Brazil. They're getting showers in southern Brazil to get that crop moving, just getting it into the ground and up. And in the Argentine, as late spring and summer is approaching, they've had some rain that benefited crops there where they'd had such dry weather in prior months. So things look pretty good there. And in northwest Africa, a wheat area, they're having another good wet season as they did last year, and that's sometimes a problem for them. Doesn't look a problem this year.
Okay, thanks much.
My pleasure.
We'll talk with you again next week. That's Pete Levitt. He's meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That is this Thursday edition. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Vaisdever in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.